Again, I appreciate the good songs today and thank the Lord for the people throughout the years that have written those songs. Singing is a very important and enlightening part of our services. I ask for your prayers today. I want to again, try to bring before you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'd like to share some scripture with you today from the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, please turn there to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'd like to begin reading with verse 23, and then read through verse 36 for a scripture reading today. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Saying unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Excuse me. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. And that's reading, as I said, from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 36 for a scripture reading. What I would like to speak about today is worship. I want you to think about why that you have come here today. We call these assemblies worship service. And certainly we need to do that as God's people. We need to worship him. And I don't know how much thought that you might give to that. But in the in these verses that I read, we are told to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so we are not only talking today, I don't only want to talk today about worship, but I want to talk today about the object of that worship. And there's only one that we are supposed to worship. And I want to define worship. as much as I can. Well, I want to share with you, I guess I should say, a definition of worship. And I like this definition. I believe as much as any that I've read, I took this definition from Webster's old dictionary, the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And this is part of what he said about worship. Of course, it's an action. We worship actively. But he said worship is chiefly and eminently the act of paying divine honors to the supreme being, or the reverence and homage paid to him in religious exercises, consisting in adoration, confession, prayer, thanksgiving, and the like. And he went on and said, the worship of God is an eminent part of religion. And it is. It's important that we assemble together. You know, we are told in the 10th chapter of Hebrews that in verse 25 that we're not to forsake that anyway. But it's very important that we assemble together and collectively worship the Lord. Now, when we, these things that I have read before you today, in the 25th verse, I believe it tells us there why that God is the one that we should worship. That verse says, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And you may think, well, wait a minute, I didn't think there were other gods. Well, the Bible says that there are many gods. But it also tells us that there's only one true God. There are many false gods, as the Bible speaks about here in 1 Chronicles 16. There are many man-made gods. There are many idol gods. But I don't worship them, and nobody should worship them. And really, as I've said here before, it's absurd for anybody to worship something that they made themselves. I don't know if you remember this or not, but I thought about this. In fact, it honestly came to me very strongly when I was studying this about worship. But I remember Sister Maddie Hayes here some time ago, maybe a couple of years ago. She gave a talk one morning here in our service on Sunday morning. And she made this statement that just has never left me. She said, why shouldn't I worship God? He created me. And we should worship our Creator. It's God that made us, the Bible says, it's God that made us and not we ourselves. We are the work of His hands. And so when you think about the folly of the minds of men that have done this throughout the years, that have made something themselves and then worship that, you know, something that they made out of some material such as wood or brass or you know, some other metal or something like that, something that they shaped and formed and then said, this is my God, and worship that. And it couldn't talk to them, or it couldn't help them. And if it needed to be moved from one place to another, they actually had to pick it up and move it, put it on a cart or something and move it. But yet they worshiped that. Israel became guilty of worshiping things that they made with their own hands. But the God that I worship, He created me. I'm the work of His hands, not the other way around. So He's great, and He is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all of these false gods. Listen to this. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Now there is glory and honor and praise that is due unto God and is not due unto anybody else. And you know, we are never to worship each other, or we are never to worship any other human being. We are, commanded by the Lord to love each other. And as his people and as the Lord's church, we are to take care of one another. We are to do as the Apostle Paul wrote and said, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. We are to look out for each other and take care of one another, but we are never to worship each other. And you know, and I'm not saying this to be malicious in any way. I'm just stating this to be a fact that no man should ever be addressed as his holiness or his eminence or father. No man in the spiritual sense, we should never address anybody as father. And I'm not just saying that today to state my opinion. That's scriptural. The Bible tells us that. Jesus said in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, in verse 9, he told his disciples, call no man your father upon the earth. And he was speaking that. Certainly he wasn't saying that in the natural sense. He wasn't telling us, not to call our dad, not to address him as father, but he was saying that in a religious sense or in the spiritual sense. We are not to call any man upon the earth father, because he said, for one is your father which is in heaven. And so, you know, only God deserves that title. Only God deserves that title of holiness and excellence and eminence and reverence and father. He is my heavenly Father. And I've said before that, there are people that I've known in life that I hold in high regard. I really do. There are people that have been examples to me, great examples to me. There are men that have been great examples to me in the ministry. There are people that have been great examples to me in my life as a Christian. You know, maybe if somebody were to come to me and ask me, you know, who do you consider to be an example? There are people that I would say, well, you look at the life of this person, and I believe that they're a good example of what a Christian should be in this world. Respect and admiration for one another, but worship belongs to God, doesn't it? Remember when the devil tempted Jesus, and he took him up there into the mountain, into the high mountain, and tempted him. And, his ultimate goal, and I'm going to tell you that his ultimate goal for you is the same thing. You stop and think about what was really happening there. Here was the very Son of God himself, the one that came to this world as God in the flesh, came here to die for our sins, and the devil took him and tempted him, and his ultimate goal was to get Jesus to turn away from God and to worship him. That's what he wants today. You know, I'm confident that the devil enjoys You know, when people are doing wickedly, when people are doing wicked things, certainly the devil enjoys that. But you know what he really wants is he really wants to be worshiped as God. That's what he's really after. And I promise you that if he was willing to confront Jesus and tempt Jesus and try to turn Jesus away from God, he's not one bit afraid to do it with you and I. And he will try to get us to leave off worshiping God and turn to him. And, you know, he does those things little by little. You know, he works those things little by little in our life to get us to leave behind the worship of the Lord. I'll tell you what, for a child of God, this day, the time that we have to come together and assemble ourselves and worship the Lord ought to be important to us. It shouldn't be as casual as we often take it. Well, I'll go to church unless something else is going on. God is not one. He is not one among many that we should worship. But he's the only one. And when the devil finally came to that, first he tempted Jesus in his state of hunger after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The first thing he did was tempt him with food. Why don't you command these stones to be made bread? And, you know, ultimately he tempted him with all of the world, all the kingdoms of the world. He said, I'll give these things to you if you'll bow down and worship me. But the Lord said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I worship God because he is so far above me. You know, I don't worship you because you're the same as me. We are all, you know, we're the same. We're all, you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are, you know, we're all human. I'll tell you what, some people, I've known people in my life, and I say this honestly, I've known people in my life that they just go nuts over meeting a celebrity. Oh my gosh, I met so-and-so. You know what? That person is a person just like me. I don't worship them any more than I worship somebody that maybe lives next door to me that I've known for years and years. You know, we are not to idolize people. We are to save that for the Lord. We're to give all of that to God. And that was the Lord's defense. That was his defense. And that ought to be our defense. You know, when the devil comes to us and he tempts us, I believe that Jesus gave us the one and only example that we need in that. When the devil comes to us and he offers us things. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. The devil is never going to offer you anything without having an evil plan behind it and without expecting something because of it. And so when he comes to us and he tempts us with these things, look, listen, if you'll do this or you'll do that, if you'll leave off this time that you're spending in religion, this time that you're spending to the Lord, well, you could put that time to doing this or doing that. Listen, when the devil comes to us and he tempts us with those things, our defense ought to be exactly the same as what Jesus used. It is written in the Holy Writ. It is written in Holy Scripture that we are only to worship God. We're not to pay homage to anybody other than the Lord. I bow my knees to pray. You do that? I know you do. When you bow your knees to pray,
Don't you always go to the same one? Isn't it God that you go to every time? He's worthy of that. You know, in the dictionary that I read, Webster in his dictionary, where he made the statement that the worship of God is an imminent part of religion, he also made the statement that prayer is an imminent part of worship. And it is, because what other means do we have to commune with God? That's the only way that we can reach out and touch God and talk to God, is through prayer. And it's an imminent and important part of our worship of the Lord. If you worship God, you've got to pray. I like what is recorded in the first chapter of Job, in the 20th verse. And I've read this so many times and thought about it. Here was a man that had lost so much. I mean, he had suffered such great loss. Job, he lost his possessions. He lost his children. I mean, all in such a short time, all of these catastrophes came upon his life. And you know, oftentimes when that happens with people, oftentimes they turn away from God. And you know, that's the time in our lives when we ought to turn more to the Lord than run away from Him. But all of these things happened to Job. And in the 20th chapter of Job, in the first verse, it says, then Job arose. He rent his mantle. He shaved his head. He fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. In the worst, no doubt, what had been the worst day of the man's life. All of these things, you know, all of this terrible news being brought to him and all of these things coming upon him, but yet he retained that one thing. He retained that. He fell down there upon the ground and he didn't say, God, I hate you now. But he worshiped. You know, I believe that's something that the true worshiper can do in the darkest moments of our lives. God is God. He's still God. He's still God. He is greatly to be praised. You know, I believe that the holy angels that God created are unique beings. I really do. God created them for distinct purpose. And we read in the scriptures about the mighty angels of God and the things that they do. But, you know, we are not to worship angels. Not only are we not to worship other men, we are not to worship angels. And we have an account in the 19th chapter of Revelation and in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. In both of those chapters, it talks about John seeing mighty works by the angels of God and falling down before them, and the angels themselves telling John, don't worship me. You save your worship for God. And, you know, the angels that have not sinned, that's how they feel about it. Now, the devil, we know he was an angel, and he sinned against God, and we know that there have been other angels that have sinned against God, and they're reserved in the chains of darkness, awaiting the eternal judgment. There's no redemption for them. They have fallen, and when they fall, they fall. But those angels that have not fallen, that's how they feel about God. Don't worship us, worship the Lord. And you know, they're angels. God has angels that just fly, and you know, their eternal job is to just fly around and pass the throne and say, glory, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. It's all they do is praise the Lord. But when Jesus came into the world, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, speaking in reference to God's Son, and again, when he bringeth his firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And didn't they do that? You know, when he was born into the world, the angels just couldn't hold their peace. They had to come and they had to appear there to those shepherds, and they had to share the news with them that a Savior had been born. And they rejoiced, even though they can't be redeemed. They rejoiced in him being born into the world. Listen. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us about God setting his Son in the position to be worshipped. Philippians chapter 2, let's turn there. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now I would advise you strongly, if you're lost, that you come before him in time, where it can do some good, where it can afford to you eternal salvation. I'm telling you what, there's people in the world that have vowed, no doubt, that they will never bow their knee to him, but I'm telling you that they will. Every knee is going to bow. Those that do that here in time, those that seek him in time while there's opportunity can be saved by his grace. But whether you do or whether you don't here in time, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I worship the Lord. I adore him. You adore him? Sure. I've heard people, inquisitive people in my lifetime, say, people ask the question, well, I wonder what we'll do in heaven. I wonder what all heaven will be like and what all we'll do in heaven. Well, I'll tell you what I believe about it. I believe we'll worship. I believe that's all we'll do is worship. I wish that we could just do that here, don't you? You know, there are things in this life that hinder us. You know, but listen, God is worthy of being worshiped every minute that we live. But we allow things here. We allow time to get in the way. We allow other things to get in the way. But I'll tell you what, those who are saved, we are going to a place where we're going to have an eternal worship service of God. That's exactly what John saw. He saw in that you know, wonderful vision that we read about in Revelation. John saw the people of God assembled around the throne, and that's all they were doing was serving God day and night, continually. Now we know there's not really time there. Those day and night there is used, to make us to see. But what he was saying there was they just continually worship the Lord. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him. And if you'll go look that word up, that word serve, it means worship. And serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen, we won't have to leave behind worship to go eat, because he says they shall hunger no more. We won't have to leave behind worship to go, hydrate, because he said they'll not thirst anymore. The sun won't light on them, nor any heat. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There are no distractions. There's no distractions. It's eternal worship. That's one of the things about heaven that appeals to me greatly. I believe there that I'll be better in my worship of the Lord. I won't have to deal with the things that I have to deal with here. I won't have anything to distract me. Boy, I tell you what, I've come before in my lifetime. I've come into the house of God, and I'll tell you what, good things happen when God's people really begin to worship him. Because the Holy Spirit of God inhabits the praise and the worship of his people. If you want the lost people to be moved, let the saints worship God. If you want lost people to be affected when they're in our presence, let's adore God and give to him the praise. There's an old song, I believe it was originally written, maybe about 1819. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power as we try to preach God's word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. We met here today for that purpose and intent, didn't we? To worship. To worship the God that saved us and gave us eternal life. I'm telling you, he has been more to me in this life than anybody has been. I love you folks. I truly do. I truly do. But I love God more than I love anybody. He has been more to me than anybody ever has. I worship him. I love him. He's so much higher than me. His ways are so much higher than my ways. His thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. High enough. God is far above me enough to cause me to turn to him and worship the one and the only God. I'd like for us to have a song. The Bible tells us this. I want to share this one more verse. Jesus, in the 4th chapter of John, in his conversation with the woman at the well, he made it known that if God is going to be worshiped, he's got to be worshiped the only way he can be worshiped. If he's going to be truly worshiped, he has to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Jesus told the Pharisees on one occasion that they vainly worshiped him, that they vainly worshiped God because they taught for doctrines the commandments of men. If you're going to worship God, you've got to worship him in spirit from the inside, and you've got to worship him according to the truth. Let's sing.
Number 231.